This morning I want to speak to you something the Lord has really strongly put upon my heart. I want to speak to you about fear not, I will help you. Fear not, I will help you. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to start at verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Isaiah chapter 41, we're going on verse 10. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah chapter 40 and 41 is a prophetic word of comfort that the Lord is speaking from the mouth of Isaiah to the hearts of his people, Israel, regarding their exile in Babylon. And it is a very prophetic word because God's people haven't been exiled into Babylon. In fact, that's not going to happen for almost another 100 years. But yet the Lord, through the mouth of Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, is ministering comfort to his people. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Lord is telling his people that they're to take heart, that he is their God and they are his people, and that the nations of the earth are as a drop in the bucket to the Lord. In other words, what the Lord is saying, that when it's time to deliver his people, there's not a kingdom on earth, there's not a nation on earth that can stop the power of God from delivering his people. And then in Isaiah chapter 41, when you really look at it and study it out, what the Lord is saying to his people is simply this, that when you hear the news of King Cyrus and his Persian army marching into Babylon, your heart is not to fear. If you remember, the Lord raised up King Cyrus and his Persian army to bring the judgment of God upon idolatrous nations. And so when God's people in Babylon would hear the news that the people of Persia, King Cyrus and his armies are coming to bring judgment upon Babylon, you know, surely it would cause a fear to come to their heart because they're inhabitants of Babylon. So the Lord is telling them that when they hear the news of the Persians are coming, that they're not the fear in their heart. That yes, King Cyrus is coming to bring judgment upon Babylon because of their idolatry and their pride. But at the same time, he's coming to bring deliverance to the people of God. That they're not to be afraid because King Cyrus is going to be the very vessel of the Lord to bring deliverance to his peoples, that they would return to their homeland. Now, going into what I feel the Lord wants me to speak this morning, I just want to begin by saying that as the Lord's people, we're not exempt from hearing what we can call bad news, bad reports. We're not exempt from calamity and crisis. We're not exempt from trials and tribulations. We're not exempt from any of these things. But at the same time, we have to understand in our hearts that God is our God and we are his people. And ultimately, he is sovereign over our lives. Ultimately, he is in control of what's going on in our lives. And anytime these things come, anytime bad reports come, anytime calamity comes, anytime trials come, we have to know in our heart that God is our God. And instead of being captivated by fears, we need to be a people that are comforted by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. from the life-giving word of God. Instead of being captivated by fears and rendered functionless by fears, we have to be a people that find our comfort through the Holy Spirit by the word of God. And in Isaiah chapter 41, the Lord has much to say to his people here. When bad news comes, when calamity comes, when trials come, the Lord has much to say to his people in Isaiah chapter 41. Again, Isaiah chapter 41, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel because they're facing very uncertain times. King Cyrus and the Persian army are marching into Babylon, and they're facing uncertain times with the Babylonians themselves, who they've been captivated by. What the Babylonians would do in their fear, what the Babylonians would do in their wrath, they were facing these things. And so the Lord was comforting their hearts. But at the same time, we have to remember that this is the living word of God. And God can speak, God does speak through his word to us today in the times that we are in and the times that we are facing. So let's just ask the question this morning. When bad reports come, when calamities come, when trials come, what is the living word of the Lord to our hearts? What is it that God is speaking to our hearts when these things come? Well, look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says, begins by saying, "Fear thou not, for I am with you." So just stop there. Let's just stop there. The Lord says, "Fear not, because I'm with you. Fear not, because I'm with you." Brothers and sisters, I really believe that this is the Lord's first remedy. Anytime any type of fear tries to take hold of our hearts, God comes to our hearts and he says very clearly, he says, "Listen, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you." That whatever you're facing in this lifetime, whatever is facing, you're facing. You're not facing it alone because I'm with you. And brothers and sisters, as I was beginning to think about this, the Lord just really began to put a word in my heart, a very strong word in my heart. And that word is simply this. Because we are the children of God, because we are God's children, there is nothing on this earth or in our lifetime we will ever face alone. There's nothing. From the moment that we ask Jesus to come into our heart and our life, to that moment on this earth when we will breathe our very last breath, there is nothing in this earth and in our lifetime we will ever face alone. God will always be there. He'll always be there right with us. He'll be there to minister. Whatever we have need of, he'll be there to minister it to us. Brothers and sisters, whatever you're facing in life now, or whatever we're going to be facing in the future, there's one thing that we can be certain of, and that is that God deeply loves us and that we are never alone. God is always there with us. Now, brothers and sisters, I do want to say this and hear my heart. I'm not trying to be harsh here. Not trying to be harsh, but I do want to speak in truth here. And what I want to simply say is this, that the world and people that are unsaved, When it comes to their crisis and comes to their problems and calamities, they'll always have to face these things alone in regards to not having the presence of God in their life. But the children of God will never face anything alone. The unsaved, when it comes to calamities, they have to face their calamities alone. They have to face their cancer alone. They have to face the loss of their loved ones alone. They have to face the tragedies that come into their life alone. But the people of God will never face anything alone because they have been washed in the blood. There's nothing that we'll ever face in our lifetime where God will not say, "I am right here walking with you. I'm right here beside you. You don't have to be afraid." Does that mean God is uncaring, uncompassionate when the lost suffer? No, that doesn't mean that at all. Brothers and sisters, it's in these times where God so desires that people, that the lost would come to him, that they would come to him, that they would receive his son, that they would be washed in the blood, that they would be born again, and that they would experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the compassion of God, and the comfort of God. It's in these times that the Lord comes to hearts and he begins to woo hearts to himself. But brothers and sisters, what I'm simply saying is this, is that until sinners repent, until sinners ask God to cleanse them and ask Jesus in their heart, they are separated from God because of their sins. But when you are a child of God, when you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, when the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you, the Lord says there is nothing that can ever separate you from my intimate, relational presence and love. Paul says it best in his word. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that can separate us from that intimate relational presence and love that we have with the Lord. Now, when I think about someone facing difficult times and hard times in their life, I can't help but think about Joseph. And brothers and sisters, just bear with me because I've probably said this many times before, but it's such life in my heart. Brothers and sisters, we know the story of Joseph. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold as a slave into Egypt. And what we have to understand about Joseph, when he went into Egypt, he went in all alone. That everyone that ever loved Joseph thought he was dead. So when he was in Egypt, facing his darkest time of his life, facing slavery in Egypt, facing the dungeons of Pharaoh, facing all these things, he didn't have anyone. He didn't have anyone to share his fears with. He didn't have anyone to share his frustrations with. He didn't have anyone to talk to when loneliness was crushing his heart. He didn't have anyone. But the one thing, the one truth the Bible says over and over again about Joseph that so ministers to my heart is this. But God was with Joseph. Now, when the Bible says God was with Joseph, we're talking about the presence of God. We're talking about the tender presence of God. That when Joseph was in Egypt, whenever there was something in his heart, something, a need that was in his heart, the presence of God was there to meet that need. When Joseph needed strength, the presence of God was there to minister strength. When Joseph needed comfort, the presence of God was there to minister comfort. When Joseph just needed hope and assurance, the presence of God was there to minister hope and assurance. And when Joseph finally came out of Pharaoh's dungeon, he came out of there with such an intimate relationship with the presence of God. He came out of that time of trial with such an intimacy with God in his presence. And that intimacy that he had with the presence of God was priceless in his life. All the gold in Egypt, all the fame of Egypt couldn't buy what Joseph had with the intimate presence of the Lord. And I'm telling you from my own life, when God allows us to walk through dark times, there's one thing that you will find. If you do not cast your faith and confidence away, you will find the comforting, intimate presence of the Lord. And it becomes very priceless to your heart. You cherish that in your life. You cherish that in your heart. Now in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, the Lord goes on to say, "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." Or in other words, he's saying, you don't have to be afraid and uncertain. Because I love you deeply, I have made myself your God and your God, and there is nothing you will ever face that is too powerful for me. In other words, the Lord is speaking about his power when he says, I am your God. He's saying, I am your God, and there's nothing that you're going to face that is too powerful for me. And brothers and sisters, we have to understand that as blood-washed, born-again believers, God says, because you've received my son into your heart, I want you to know something. I am your father and I am your God. And there is nothing that you'll ever face upon this earth that is too powerful for me, that is too mighty for me. I am your God. And then the Lord goes on to say in verse 10, he says, and I will strengthen you. Brothers and sisters, if you've ever walked with God through dark times, you know the preciousness of that promise. You know what it's like to have the Lord come in those dark times and begin to strengthen your heart. If you've walked with God in faith and obedience through dark times, then you can know, you can remember, you can reflect upon the times where you knew what it was like to be overwhelmed in heart. We knew what it was like to be crushed in spirit. But in those places, God suddenly came. He suddenly showed up and we found a strengthening in the Lord. We found a strength in our heart. Whether it was the Lord manifesting his love and manifesting his presence by his Holy Spirit, or whether it's we were reading his word in these times and the Lord breathed such life into something that really spoke to our heart and such a strength came into our heart. Brothers and sisters, we know those precious times in our lives where we couldn't make it. But suddenly the grace of God and the preciousness of His presence and His strength came and pulled us out of those pits and said, I'm going to strengthen you. You're not going to drown in this. You're not going to be overwhelmed in this. I'm going to enlarge your mouth over your enemies. You're going to find my power. My grace is sufficient for you in these times. Now, we all know that. But as I was really thinking about this, thinking about the Lord strengthening us in these times, the Lord began to minister something else to my heart. When the Lord says He's going to strengthen us, often He means, through this, I'm going to teach you how to walk in a greater faith. Through this time of uncertainty, I am going to teach you to walk in a deeper trust in the Lord, and it will be your strength. Brothers and sisters, there are just people that I'm very close to that just come to my mind that have been through some very bitter trials with God. Listen, not trials, bitter trials. Very bitter trials in their lifetime with the Lord. But as they walked with God and kept their heart fixed upon the Lord, kept their faith in the Lord, not casting away their confidence in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, they came through these trials. They saw the faithfulness of God in these trials. As they looked to the Lord and leaned upon the Lord, they found the Lord's strength and the Lord's faithfulness in these trials. And listen, when they came through these bitter trials, they didn't come out of these bitter trials bitter. They came out of these trials with such a greater faith in God, with such an unshakable faith in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, anytime you meet anybody, any saint that just shines with faith and shines with the strength of God in their life, you can know in your heart that they've been through some fires with God. And it was in these fires that God brought them to such a place of faith. God brought them to such a place of strength in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, there is a strength in the Lord that only walking through crises and trials and fires can give you. But when you walk with God, looking upon Him, leaning upon His strength, keeping your eyes and your faith fixed upon the Lord, when you come out of these trials, you will come out with such a strength in the Lord that will shine through your life. In verse 10, the Lord says to His people, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. God is saying, in every tribulation, I will graciously hold you up. My mercy and grace will not fail you. You will find that the loving kindness of the Lord in your life is unfailing. And what a precious promise that is to the Lord's people. That, brothers and sisters, whatever we're walking through, God says, I'm going to hold you up by my hand of my righteousness, that you're going to find that the grace of God is unfailing in your life as you keep your heart and your faith fixed upon me. But there's something I really feel to bring out from the Lord here, something very strong upon my heart. And I'm just really asking the Lord for His help here, because I know this is something the Lord really wants us to hear. I want us to notice the Lord says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This word righteousness simply means to do what is right, to do what is just. In other words, the Lord is saying, whatever you pass through in this lifetime, I will graciously bear you up. And whatever I allow to pass through your life is the right thing for you, because I am righteous. Brothers and sisters, I've found that for many saints, there's a reality that somewhere in our walk with God, we have to come to terms with. We have to come to grips with. And that is the sovereignty of God. That ultimately God is in control of our lives. That when we're walking with God and our hearts are pure before the Lord, we're not allowing sin in our life and disobedience in our heart and our life is pure before the Lord. Whatever the Lord passes through, allows to pass through our life, God is ultimately in control, and ultimately it is the right thing. Now, when you think about it, that can be hard to swallow. But it doesn't take the truth away. When a man and woman that loves God, and their hearts are right with God, and their hearts are pure before the Lord, find out that their six-year-old child has leukemia, and they were diligently to pray for that child, and yet they die because of their blood disease. That mother and father have to know in their heart that ultimately God is sovereign. that ultimately God is in control. That ultimately God allowed this to pass through their life. And according to His wisdom and His will, it's right. Now, for many of us, that's hard to swallow. But we have to understand something. God says, I'm going to uphold you by the hand of my righteousness. And my righteousness is going to prevail in your life. Because I am your God and ultimately I'm sovereign. And beloved, what I'm simply saying is this. When we can come to that place in our heart that my God is a righteous God. And whatever He allows to pass through my life, ultimately He is sovereign. When we can come to that place in our hearts, when we can truly say that, not just out of our mouth, but in our heart, there is not a greater place than faith in that. There's not a greater place of victory than that. There's not a greater place of hope and rest and peace in that. When we can come to terms with God's sovereignty in our life, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Through Job's very bitter trials, Job came to a place in his heart where he could say, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. In other words, this is what Job was saying. Job came into a place in his heart where he could say this. If God even goes so far as slaying me, I know whatever He wills is right, and I will trust Him. That's what Job is saying. Job is saying, if God goes so far as slaying me, I know God is a righteous God, and He can only do according to His wisdom and His will what is right for me. That is what Job is saying. Now hear me. Job didn't just possess this kind of faith. It was through his bitter trials that the Lord brought him into this kind of faith. It was through walking through these bitter trials that he finally came to a place in his heart where he could say, in all truth, God is a just God. And whatever He wills, whatever He allows to pass through my life is right. And I will trust Him. Brothers and sisters, there are some saints that will have to walk through the bitter testings and trials of Job. But when we finally come to that place in our heart where we can say, whatever God wills, it's right. Whatever God allows to pass through my life, according to His will, it's right. When God's people can finally come to that place, there's not a greater place of rest in the Lord than that. There's not a greater place of faith in the Lord than that. There's not a greater place of liberty in the Lord than that. But does that mean it's always easy? No, it's not easy walking through these kind of things. But yet the Lord will always be there. Because He says, I will hold you with the hand of my righteousness. He will be there. And He will minister what we need. He will minister strength. He will minister rest. He will minister comfort. And ultimately, we will find out, weeping may endure for a night, but by the faithfulness of God, joy does come in the morning. That's a truth that a lot of saints haven't come to grips with yet. Reality. But brothers and sisters, when you keep your heart right with God and pure before the Lord, then we have to ask the question, God is either sovereign or He's not. I may understand or I may not understand why He has allowed something to pass through my life. But He's either sovereign or He's not. Yes, He's sovereign. And He's not only sovereign, but He is righteous in His sovereignty. And that is something every saint needs to come to grips with somewhere in their walk with the Lord. Because when you do, there's such a freedom in that. Such a liberty in that. Such a place of faith and trust in that. When you can say with Job, though He slay me, whatever He allows, according to His wisdom and will to pass through my life, I will trust Him. Because ultimately He is righteous. And what He does is right. Amen. Amen. Look with me at verse 11 through verse 13. It says, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help you. Looking at these verses, it's very plainly that in the verses the Lord is talking to his people about the Babylonians. He's saying there's coming a time I'm going to, those that were incensed against thee, those that rose up against thee, which is the Babylonians or in Babylonian captivity, you're not going to see them no more. You're going to be looking around and you're going to say, where is their power? Where is their great kingdom? And the Lord says, you're not going to find a trace of it, because by my power and by my righteous judgment, I have destroyed the empire of Babylon. And they're no longer going to be a threat to you. They're no longer going to captivate your life. That's what the Lord is saying to the people of Israel. But brothers and sisters, I believe for us as New Testament believers, the Lord has a deeper meaning for us. Just praying and talking to the Lord about this. We know that as long as we are alive on this earth, we're going to have to contend with Satan. We're going to have to contend with his evil workers. We're going to have to contend with his evil forces. There'll never be a time in our life where we don't have to wage spiritual warfare and cast down imaginations and these kind of things. You know, we're always going to have to contend with the enemy. So I believe for us today, just really seeking the Lord in prayer, I believe this is what the Lord is saying here. The Lord is saying, in everything I walk with you through, every trial, every battle, every crisis, if you keep your heart fixed on me, the one thing you're going to see me doing is destroying the voice of fear in your life. The enemy and the voice of his threats and his fear, you're going to see it silenced in your life more and more, because you are going to receive such a revelation of my faithfulness. The enemy and all of his threats and fears, you're going to see them no more, because you are going to be swallowed up by the revelation of my faithfulness. Every trial, every battle, every crisis, every calamity I allow to pass through your life, if you keep your faith fixed on me, the one thing you're going to see happening in every one of them is I'm going to destroy the voice of fear in your life, because you're going to see the faithfulness of God in your life over and over and over again. You know, I heard a great woman of God say one time, every trial is simply a platform for the Lord to reveal his faithfulness. Every trial is simply a platform for the Lord to display his faithfulness. And with every trial we pass through, we come out with such a greater faith and trust in the Lord, because we continually see the Lord's faithfulness. I believe that's what the Lord is saying. Your enemies, you shall see them no more. Well, we know for the rest of our lives we're going to have to deal with Satan and his cohorts. It's going to be spiritual warfare. But I believe what the Lord is saying is I'm going to destroy the voice of fear in your life. Every trial, you are going to see the faithfulness of God in your life. And there's going to be such a greater faith in your heart, because I am your faithful God. Amen. So let me end with this question. In this message, what is the one thing we didn't hear the Lord say he will do? He didn't say he will always make our trials and crises go away, that we will have to walk through many of them. But what he did say is in everything he will strengthen us and lift us up over our enemies and cause his righteousness to prevail in our lives, while working a greater and more precious faith and trust in our hearts, delivering us from the voice of fear with the continual revelation of his faithfulness. God is faithful. We're expecting to be delivered from all your crises and calamities. Well, your faith is in the wrong place. You know, I have someone very close to my heart she says, you really need to pray for me because my faith is just shot. She's been walking through something for years, a very bitter trial with her health. And her concept of thinking is, if I get my faith in God strong enough, he has to heal me, because this is not God's will for my life. But my prayer for her is this: turn her focus off of that and begin to put her focus upon the person of God. Because there is so much of his presence, so much of his strength, so much of his comfort, so much of his hope in his word that she's missing out on, because her faith is warped. No, no, we will go through battles. We will walk through calamity. We will go through trials. But in all of it, God says, if you keep your heart fixed on me, you will see my faithfulness in your life. And I will always deal with you righteously, according to my heart, according to my wisdom, according to my will. So let's just end with verse 16. It says, thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. Here's the part I want to look at. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. I truly believe with all my heart that whatever we face in our lives, if we will just hold on to our faith and our trust in the Lord, we will see God's faithfulness. I believe that with all my heart. Because God says, my name is faithful and true. That's who I am. And I believe whatever we're walking through, whatever trials, whatever tribulation, if we will just keep our confidence in the Lord, our faith in the Lord, we will see, according to the Lord's will, we will see His faithfulness. And when we see His faithfulness, we will always pass through it with a song in our heart, giving praise and giving glory to God. I believe that is the end result of every trial, every tribulation that will pass through a believer's life. If we keep our faith intact and keep our confidence in the Lord, we will see God's faithfulness according to His will. And there will be such a song in our heart, a song of praise, not just something that we sing in church. No, it will be real. There will be life to it. You know, one of the things that really strikes my heart in the book of Revelation, it really ministers to my heart in the book of Revelation, is when you look at the heavenly saints, the blood-washed saints that are in heaven in the book of Revelation, nowhere do you hear them questioning God. Nowhere do you hear them saying, God, when I was on the earth, why did you allow me to suffer in this? Why did you allow me to go through this? Lord, why did I have to pass through that? Nowhere in Revelation with the heavenly saints do you see that. No, 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 no. As soon as their eyes behold the Lamb, they fall down in worship and in adoration. Because as soon as they fall down, because as soon as they see the Lamb, such an emotion of His worthiness just fills their heart. Lamb of God, You are so worthy of my faith, of my faith. You are so worthy of my praise. You are so worthy of my worship. You are so worthy of my adoration, because You are the faithful Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And beloved, those heavenly saints have something to speak to us today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing in this life, when you see the Lamb, you're going to know that it was worth it all. When you see the Lamb, you're going to know that He is so worthy of all your glory, so worthy of all your praise, so worthy of all your honor. Not one place in heaven do I find a saint accusing God. When they see the Lamb, they fall in His presence and they worship, because He's worthy. Stand with me this morning.